Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform, Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Crane, Evan Basilik, Sujit DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kel Teeter, and Russell Young discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work, and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at Azure Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Azure Podcast. It's episode 348, and we're actually going to be discussing CADA, or the Kubernetes event-driven auto-scaling. So I have with me Kale and Sujit, and our special guest, Tom. I'm actually not going to say his last name until he does his introduction, just because, you know, if you know you're going to butcher something, why don't you just leave it to the expert? And I think he knows how to pronounce it a bit better than I do. So we'll go ahead and kick it off with a round of updates. Sujit, Kale, does one of y'all want to take it off?
Yeah, I got two things to talk about. So this week is Ignite's kicking off, so I'm sure we're going to have a plethora of news coming out of there. But two of the big ones leading up to that I wanted to kind of highlight here. The first was this thing called Azure Communication Services, which is a pretty exciting new offering, a fully managed communications platform using the same technology we use for Microsoft Teams that supports a ridiculous scale. Let's just say that. But basically, this service includes all kinds of different kind of communications, as you can imagine, not just voice and video calling, but also chat, SMS, all kinds of other different ways that people actually communicate. And this gives some cohesive API that makes it easy or easier for people to build applications that are going to use something like real-time communication or things like I just mentioned. So still reading up on it myself because this was just announced, but we'll drop the link in the show notes. And, you know, there's a lot of information out here. This thing's in preview right now, so you can go check it out. The second one I want to talk about was totally different, but kind of the same on communication side, but Azure Orbital. So this is a new service as well that's in preview that is a ground station as a service, which sounds pretty awesome. But basically for folks communicating with satellites or who have satellites in orbit, the downlink from that satellite to a ground station, whether it be some partner data center or ground station or something even like Azure's offering here, this basically allows kind of a network connectivity to these satellites to be able to like get the data in. And then obviously, you know, once we have data coming in from the satellite, whether it be some sort of image or geospatial data, obviously processing that with the bunch of services that we have in Azure is key. So basically, again, light on info because it was just announced, but looks pretty exciting for you know, different communications mechanisms in Azure.
Yeah, Kale, as a matter of fact, I was having some fun with our team the other day when this was announced, and we're just thinking it'd be nice to write an app that you can control something in the space station, right? Imagine there's some kind of gadget that's deployed in the ISS, and you're just at home and you're controlling it. You have that flexibility now. You know, you just pay per call, whatever the pricing strategy is for that. It is pretty cool. Let me cover a couple of things since we have Tom today to talk about things in Kubernetes. There's a couple of Kubernetes updates that I'll announce, and I know Kendall will also cover a couple of them. But the two that I have are, of course, there's a new feature where you could change the default storage class now in AKS. And again, because this is the Ignite week, there's a lot of lots of announcements, and we can't cover all of them today. We're going to cover just a few that we think will be of interest. And so now AKS customers, they can use a different storage class in place of the default storage class, sometimes to cover to get better cost, you know, because by default, I think you may use like a premium SKU. If they want to use something different, they could do that. And so they can keep their costs down. So that is available today in I think that is now available. And the other thing related to Kubernetes is the base image. Now you have an option to use Ubuntu 18.04. I think previously it was a 16x version of Ubuntu. So that is now generally available if you want to keep up with the latest images there. And then a couple of non-AKS announcements that I have is on Redis. This is the Redis Enterprise feature for Azure Cache is coming up soon. And this is something that actually I have actually used. This is provides more like a geo-redundant version of Redis, you know, with automatic failover, clusters and different availability zones, things like that. And so those features will be coming up soon. And finally, there is an announcement for the new private Azure Marketplace, which is now in public preview. That's a little odd to say that, but the private Azure Marketplace is in public preview now. And what that does is it lets enterprises have their own little marketplace that, you know, a kind of curated set of applications that they want to make available to their in-house staff so that, you know, they don't go out and just deploy anything and everything into their Azure environment. And so that is currently in public preview. Kendall, what do you got on Kubernetes and otherwise?
Yeah, so just a couple of updates on my side. As mentioned, and going to reemphasize, a lot of updates going to be coming out from Ignite. So excited personally to look through those since I haven't had an opportunity to listen in. But wanted to talk through a couple of things. So one of the big announcements that we've made recently within the past couple of days is basically Logic Apps is coming out with a lot of new functionality that's basically going to help it integrate better with the developer workflow. So think about Logic Apps now being able to run as a containerized runtime. So similar to how Azure Functions can run. So you can actually think about hosting this on Azure Functions, on App Service, Docker, anything like that, right? And think about other clouds, which is pretty interesting, the concept of Azure Logic Apps moving and being able to be portable for other clouds is pretty interesting. So super excited to think through this. Definitely a lot better from a VNet integration perspective. Right now you have to go with that Logic Apps isolated environment. So being able to run a container within your VNet will definitely be something that'll be cost savings, I assume, for a lot of customers. And then there's also some cool stuff in terms of integration with Visual Studio Code, things like GitHub Actions for deployment. So I think a lot will definitely be buzzing on this particular update. And then I did have a Kubernetes related one or more AKS related. So right now we have features that basically allow you to do the integrated authentication from Azure Active Directory with your AKS cluster. And that basically makes sure that you don't have to manage credentials and users independently for Azure and then also for Kubernetes. But we haven't necessarily done a great job of integrating the different RBAC controls, so RBAC within the Kubernetes cluster itself and Azure RBAC. So I believe that this new preview will actually help enable that experience where you're not having to manage Kubernetes RBAC and Azure RBAC as two separate things. So definitely keep a lookout or, you know, be on the lookout, test that out. It's definitely something I've never tried because it is in preview now. So I'm definitely interested in seeing how this will work. And I do know that it has to be leveraged on an Azure AD managed cluster. So it's not necessarily going to apply to every cluster out there, but definitely should be interesting. And then I think we threw this in there. I think Sajid and I actually had both thrown this in the show notes, but the Azure Arc enabled data services is in preview now. So I know we've mentioned a lot about Azure Arc for managing Kubernetes, both on premises and other cloud providers, getting some of that consistency of management when it comes to configuration. But Azure Arc for data services will actually allow you to take some of the Azure hosted managed data services and running them on premises. So think things like SQL managed instance and PostgreSQL hyperscale. So those are both the two data sources that will be in preview with this, you know, enabled data services feature within Azure Arc. So I just to reemphasize Azure Arc really being our, I guess, multi-cloud slash on-premises plus hybrid type of scenarios. So should be interesting to continue watching how this particular product or feature, service, whatever you want to call it, evolves over time. So that's what I had. I think that was a pretty good roundup and excited again to share the Ignite updates on the next episode, but I think we should jump in. So we have our guest, Tom. I'll let him introduce himself. And once again, I'll let him say his last name for the first time.
Hello, thanks for having me. My name is Tom Kerkhove. I'm an Azure architect for a company called Codit in Europe. I'm an Azure MVP, a GitHub star, and CNCF ambassador, and I'm one of the maintainers of Keda and some other projects, but Keda is the main topic here. I'm happy to talk about Kubernetes-driven, event-driven autoscaling. And I'm happy to hear the tip about Logic Apps, by the way, because we were part of the private preview, and it's really a game changer for the for the integration space and also for the PaaS space. I'm happy to see that all these PaaS services come to Kubernetes, giving you more flexibility. And I'm happy to scale all of that with Kata as well.
Nice. So yeah, maybe the first thing we can do just to make sure everybody's level set, what is Kata? Can you just give kind of a rundown? Yes. I know you've definitely defined what the acronym stands for, but what does this do? Why do we care?
Yeah, so the goal of Kubernetes event-driven auto-scaling is really to make application auto-scaling on Kubernetes that simple. If you're new to Kubernetes, scaling applications can be a bit overwhelming because you have to learn how Kubernetes works within a horizontal pod autoscaler, is a vertical pod autoscaler, and then you can only scale based on the metrics inside the cluster. But our typical customers use Azure a lot, and you want to typically scale on the service per SKU, a topic, or any other metric which is outside of Kubernetes. Without Kata, this is somewhat of cumbersome and actually very hard. It's improving a lot, but with Kata, we basically allow you to just point to the service bus queue, for example, you define the metrics, and we will handle the scaling for you. So that's a bit the idea. The reason how I got involved was I had a customer who was using cloud services. Those who know it have been in the industry for a while. And over there, you typically have Azure Monitor Autoscaler, where you just point to the queue, define the metric, they handle that for you. And then they wanted to go to AKS because, that was the future. And then they basically had to do everything. It was practically impossible at the time. And now with Kata, it's sort of easier to do these things. But of course, we're not limited to only Azure. We also support basically every major cloud or open source technologies. So that's the high level overview.
Does that, Tom, does that, when you talk about scaling, is it bi-directional? Meaning like it's not just about like scaling up because we have more demand for an app and we need to like scale it up, but also like retreating back, like basically scaling down?
Yeah, so with Kata, we basically allow you to scale to zero up until N instances. So we build on top of Kubernetes. So underneath the hood, we will use an HPA to handle the 1-to-N scaling. If there is no work, we will basically scale all the way back to zero. So we do scale up and down for you on the application level, not the cluster level.
Yeah, you know, Tom, I was wondering like if Kata is, I guess, an open source project. Right.
Yep.
How do we maintain that? Not put that tight coupling with Azure, right? Because obviously, if you deploy this on GCP or Amazon, AWS, there's going to be different queuing mechanisms. They have simple queue there and whatnot. So, like, how do you guys maintain this? This interface or this level of separation between the actual cloud workload and Kata?
Yep. So maybe just a small background. So Kata started as a collaboration between Microsoft and Red Hat. And then I think last year we donated it to the CNCF as a sandbox project because we really want to be vendor neutral. Even today, the maintainers are represented by Microsoft, Red Hat, and Codit, but still we welcome every platform basically. And Kata uses the concept of scalers. So basically, we have the core runtime, and it's up to you to decide what scaler you want to use. Then, per service, we basically add a new scaler next to the other ones. So, for example, we already have AWS CloudWatch and Kinesis and SQSQ. If they want to have another scaler for a different service from their side, they can just send one pull request with a new scaler, and that's how easy it is. For example, last week, we added support for Azure Log Analytics, where you can write a Kusto query. And frankly, this one was from the community. I think it was somebody from the product group itself, but we have a lot of external contributions from a variety of companies. So we're open to anybody.
So just kind of curious here, and Sajid, sorry, if you have a follow-up question, I'll let you get it in. I have several, but I'll only ask one first. just for those who are maybe a little bit less familiar with Kubernetes, is Kata running as a container within the cluster? Is it running as a daemon set? How does that actually work in terms of the, I guess, the deployment in the cluster?
So we have two containers. We have a metric server, which is required for Kubernetes to use with an HPA. And we also have an operator. And that's just how simple it is. You can do a Helm install Kata core / Kata. And we will create everything for you. And you can then just apply your scaled objects. So if you have an app running today already, you can very easily start auto-scaling it by installing a scaled object, is what we call it, where you simply point to what you want to scale. Imagine my deployment. And then you define one or more triggers which you want to scale on. That can be a combination of a service bus queue and CPU or memory. And then we will basically monitor all these metrics and scale it accordingly. So it's just one resource you have to apply, and we take up the rest of it.
So Tom, you mentioned about the HPA earlier, which I've used. Does Kata work with the HPA, or does it do the scaling, you know, on top of the HPA? Like, how does that collaboration work?
Just as a caveat, for those who don't know what HPA is, that's horizontal pod autoscaler.
Yeah. So Kata today, the aim with it is that we have one unified application autoscaling layer. So in theory, you will only interact with Kata and create scaled objects. Under the hood, what Kata will do is it will check the metrics. If there is work to process, it will scale from 0 to 1. And it will create an HPA under the hood for you. And we will basically give the metrics to the HPA so that it scales. But the whole point is that you don't have to worry about all of that. You just define how it should scale, and we'll manage that under the hood. If there is no work left, we will remove the HPA automatically again and scale your deployment to 0. So it's not only auto-scaling, it's also cost optimization, because if you can scale a lot back to 0, that means your whole cluster can scale back to fewer nodes, and it's more cost efficient. So we fully extend Kubernetes. Let's say we didn't reinvent the wheel.
One other question I had, Tom, was around when you talk about things that do auto scaling. I know some of the frameworks that Microsoft has had in the past, you talk about cloud services and some of the early on stuff we had there. And even how it works in the cloud today, there's a lot of nuance, like when you build one of those things, because a CPU could spike for a couple milliseconds, and you don't necessarily want to scale up then. So does this framework like kind of accommodate some of that noise a little bit? And is there like settings there? Because it's like you want to make it super easy for a user to use, but you also like give them enough configuration so that they can avoid like scaling up when they really don't need to.
Yeah, so there's different layers. So the first one is, because we build on top of HPA, a lot of people wanted to be able to tweak the HPA because you can define how it needs to scale down, etc. So that's what's coming in our 2.0, which is now in beta. Something else we have is you can also tell Kata how often it needs to check the metrics, for example. You can say that it has to wait, let's say, 5 minutes before checking, so that you basically wait. You have a bigger overview of the metric, let's say, so that you have less spikes. Something we can do in the future, but we don't have that on the backlog yet, is maybe we should just keep track of the history of the metrics and see, should we do predictive scaling and try to determine if there are patterns in the workload. So maybe there we could optimize. You have some control. Question is, everybody needs once more or less, depending on the needs, of course. But you certainly are in control as well on what you can configure.
Yeah, so I think this was a really good overview of kind of what Kata does, how it works, how it operates with the HPA kind of in the background. I'm curious from an Azure perspective, because I've definitely gotten this question before and thought this myself. So when we think about things like Azure Functions and then containerizing Logic Apps runtime and all that, how does Kata fit into those pieces? Would just be kind of curious more from the Azure framework lens. How does Kata really fit in with these? Is it replacing it? Is it working in conjunction?
The answer is very simple. KEDA started from the functions team, because functions, you can run them outside of Azure, but yeah, Azure Functions does the scaling for you. But if I deploy my function on an on-prem Kubernetes cluster or AKS, I don't want to manually scale that. That's why they created KEDA, to basically bring somewhat of the autoscaler they had just outside of Azure and provide event-driven autoscaling for applications, basically. Now that Logic Apps is coming outside of Azure, it's basically the same. It runs on top of Azure Functions, and it has the same concept. You will be processing a queue or something else. That one has a metric, and based on that, you want to basically scale out or in. And it's really more of an extension to the Azure offering, but outside of Azure.
Yeah, I like the way that you describe that. So it's more the two things together, what enable the functions in Azure experience to come down into other cloud providers. If you didn't have KEDA, then you're missing kind of that trigger based approach that really made functions super valuable. Cool. Okay. Yep. Awesome.
Yeah, actually, one of the ways that we used KEDA was exactly like you just described, is an event hub that had input queue messages coming in. And we connected it to KEDA to, you know, to spin up additional pods to process the messages faster and faster. The problem we had is that, you know, it kind of increases the pods at a set level, right? And so if you do have this sudden blast of messages, let's say, you know, all of a sudden you get like 100,000 messages, it took a while before it spun up enough pods, right, to kind of consume all those messages in an appropriate amount of time. I know previously when we did cloud services, I had come up with this concept of an upside down autoscaler, which is, you know, when you do get the load, is you go to the maximum number of pods and then you scale down, right? That's why they call it upside down. So I was wondering if there's like any configuration in KEDA, or you know, if that's a scenario that you've seen before.
Yeah, definitely. In terms of scaling too slow, that's what I was referring to earlier, where depending on how aggressive you want to be, you can just tell KEDA to be constantly checking for metrics, or just be a bit more graceful and have longer periods. For example, we could check every second and scale out aggressively. One thing I think we do not support is define how many instances should be added. But from what I recall, we do that fully based on the metrics. So if we see that you define that you want to have 50 messages on the queue, but we have 5,000, we will really be super aggressive. But it depends on the polling interval and the cooldown period, et cetera, that you have defined.
Awesome. Thank you. Is there any kind of updates that you think, I know you talked about the 2.0 updates. Are there any other kind of things you want to mention regarding 2.0 version of KEDA?
Yeah, 2.0 is it's in the version, but it's a new major version where we basically learned from the community how are they using KEDA, and we've seen that one of the big asks is that they want to scale different, more than just a Kubernetes job or a Kubernetes deployment. Kubernetes has the concept of a custom resource, and with the new version, we basically allow you to auto-scale everything. As long as it's a Kubernetes resource or a custom resource, you can do that. And we already see customers doing that, which is really, really great. Some other things we're doing is more control on the HPA, but also how to operate KEDA. Like, we are adding readiness and liveness probes, Prometheus metrics, and more advanced kubectl information so that it's easier for operators. And another thing we want to do is make it easier for people to extend KEDA, so that if there is no scaler that supports their need already, we already allow you to write an external scaler where you basically bring your own, but that's in a pull fashion. Now we also have an external push scaler so that you can do it in a push fashion, or you just provide the REST API, which just returns the metric, and then we will take over the rest. And of course, more scalers. That's always better.
Kale, go ahead. You had a question?
Oh, sorry. I thought Kendall had something there. So the other question I had, and maybe just to clarify for our listeners, this is an open source project. So can I consider this to be something that's like free to use? There's no cost involved?
It's free to use. The only thing we ask is if you're using this in production, let us know, because we are more than happy to list you in our community. Because yeah, we like to see if our work is really valuable and used by people, and then we can better interact to get feedback and make it a better tool. And it was great last week to see that, for example, Alibaba Cloud is now building on top of Keda as part of their product. So that's a nice reference to have.
Yeah, that was going to be my second part of the question is, like, typically when enterprises take a dependency on something like this, they need to understand what the support will be like, right? If there is a bug or something that's found, is this followed like the traditional OSS thing, or is there like, can they buy support or any of that kind of stuff?
It's just open source support. But I'm hoping over time that, for example, AKS will have this as an add-on, so that if you provision a new AKS cluster, you can just tick a box and say, install Keda in my cluster, and you're good to go. But we're not there yet, and I can talk for Microsoft, but that's something I would really love to see. Because it, how it is today, it lacks a bit the application auto-scaling as part of a PaaS service, in my opinion.
And Tom, you know, this question is more AKS specific, but I recall when we were doing our implementation, AKS did not at the time allow you to scale down to zero nodes, right? You still had to have at least one node in your cluster. Mm-hmm. Is that something that has changed since? Do you foresee any support for that zero node cluster approach?
They have that now today, I think. I would need to check. I don't think you can fully auto-scale to zero nodes, but you can already do it manually, if I'm not mistaken. I will look for the GitHub issue and add it to the show notes.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on Twitter at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixer.org under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.